And yeah, we're back on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Jordan Crook on the line from the Victorian National Parks Association. Hello, Jordan. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're actually there. the reason why we've got you here is because the Victorian government is basically, by stealth, I suppose, attacking the organisations that have been set up to protect environments or keep an eye on what's going on in the environment. Can you give my listeners some idea of what they're doing?
Yeah, definitely. Ever since the change in premiers, there's been quite a change in tone and actions by the state government. We're seeing big cuts to fisheries officers, so half of them got sacked. We've got a big, almost $100 million cut to Parks Victoria, who look after our national parks and protected areas. But they've also abolished two very important government institutions, the Marine and Coastal Council, as well as VEAC, which is the Victorian Environment Assessment Council. Both got abolished about a month ago.
And so this seems to be running alongside the announcements for seismic testing in the Otways, as well as extending the gas exploration off the coast of Victoria?
Yeah, it's at a time that we definitely need a Marine and Coastal Council to be that independent voice to government about what should and shouldn't happen along our coastline. They went ahead and cut it, which is even weirder because it was set up under the Andrews government. So it's essentially been set up and destroyed by the same government.
And the argument is that it's a cost-cutting measure, but they hardly cost anything.
Yeah, they cost next to nothing, really, compared to level crossings and the like. And the amount of good that they do for society well outweighs the investment made into them.
What are some of those goods? What difference does it make actually having robust environmental protection agencies?
Yeah, I guess the two bodies, the VEAC and the Marine and Coastal Council, give independent advice to government. So it takes decisions out of bureaucrats and made internally by ministers, and they make evidence-based decisions and put that to government. So if it wasn't for VEAC, we wouldn't have most of the national parks that we have. But we know that if that was left up to politicians, they'd probably still be fiddling around trying to make a park that appeases everyone, including those who want to exploit and damage those areas.
I was doing a bit of research into some of the Victorian government's upcoming AI data centre projects, and the Allen government was incredibly clear about the fact that potential investors didn't need to worry about any sort of environmental regulations. Victoria is going to be a really friendly state to investors. So it seems like across a few different policy positions, they've made it pretty clear that environmental regulation and protection isn't their priority. Why, particularly considering that we're in the middle of a climate crisis, is it not appropriate for our state government to make this such, I don't know, a
carte blanche, stupid policy stance?
And to make the environment such a peripheral issue when, as I said, we're in the middle of a climate crisis.
Yeah, it makes no sense at all. And, you know, the government's always going on about how, you know, Melbourne's the most livable city in the world and the like. It's only livable because of the natural environment that we're lucky enough to still have in Victoria. So those laws and regulations that look after environment, whether that's wildlife and habitat or clean air and fresh water, they're societal goods. like they look after all of us that live in that environment. So
Let's look at some of this track record. One of the by getting rid of these bodies, what they're doing is trying to move it into the hands of the Commissioner for Environmental Sustainability. And so that you've got one person who's supposed to replace all the knowledge of scientists and others who are involved in the consultation process that were part of those VAC and VMCC. So they reckon that they can use one person to decide the fate of the environment in Australia, in Victoria.
Yeah, it's shocking. And the VAC, the Environment Assessment Council, they were experts in their field, and they got brought into the council when the government decided to do an assessment of public land. So we're really trying to switch off the voices of experts, unfortunately, when, like you said, we're in the middle of a climate and biodiversity crisis. We should be listening to experts more and more, not less.
The Allen government arbitrarily opened up the Snowy River and the Yuranundra National Parks to deer hunting and made dramatic cuts to the, as you said, the fisheries. But we've just received information about things like Mount Macedon community members being really angry about the destruction of snow gum forests because the Mount Macedon Memorial Cross Committee were pushing to cut down the snow gums to restore historical views of Melbourne from the Memorial Cross on the summit of the mountain. So what you're seeing is a political view or an ideological view set against the sustainability of the environment in Mount Macedon, like, you know, knock down some snow gums so that you can get a better view of Melbourne. I mean, and then we get some information coming out of Gecko up in from Goongra about how the they want to do an enormous burn, a 34,000 hectare planned burn in the Snowy River National Park on its 10-day ignition schedule. Australia's leading fire ecologists and biodiversity researchers have signed an open letter calling on Environment Minister Stephen Dipinopoulos to immediately pause this burn. The science does not support it. The cumulative fire history of this landscape is devastating. More than 110 threatened species are at risk. So, I mean, this is what happens, isn't it? From your point of view, from the, you're watching brief as Victorian National Parks Association is that basically if you leave it in the hands of politicians, you're in big trouble.
Exactly. They're not, there's not many ecologist politicians out there, if any. the capitulation of the Allen government, not just to the destroyers of the environment, but also to the shooting lobby by letting deer shooters into national parks and a whole raft of other issues that they've capitulated to them has been really, really disturbing and weird.
And I think for me, part of the urgency of this issue is that once these things are gone, you can't have them back in the same way. Like, if you destroy the environment, of course, it's possible to restore and regenerate the environment, but it's never going to be the way that it was before if we don't value and preserve and protect these parts of, as you said before, our commonwealth, our common environmental goods. If we don't take care of them, we lose them.
Exactly, and that's a lot of people probably don't know, but the VAC, who's now been abolished in assessment back in 2016, and they found that Victoria is the most cleared state in Australia. Even though we're one of the smallest, over 70% of our native habitats and native vegetation is gone. It's under bitumen and paddocks and houses. So that last remaining 30% that we have left needs to be looked after and protected, not neglected as it currently is.
I mean, I know that your association is trying to raise awareness, have you been getting any responses from the public about this? I mean, on the ground in rural areas, because having lived in the bush, one of the things that struck me that a government could possibly actually lend its hand to would be the removal of noxious weeds. I mean, that's what a government's good for. But destroying our environment holus bolus like this by not even, ensuring that there is no oversight so that no information and data is collected is negligent. This government is acting in a negligent fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very, very short-term thinking as well. Like you said, 1 or 2 years of not spraying weeds or removing feral animals, those numbers double and triple when they get out of hand and uncontrollable. So it's incredible short-term thinking, but it'll have repercussions on not just the environmental health, but people's physical health as well. You've got feral deer and the like running around, getting out of control, running in front of cars, and it'll ruin our water quality and carbon storage and the like. So, like, we rely on the environment. We don't rely on the car races at Albert Park and the like, which they love to fund.
And, you know, it's not just the Labor government in Victoria. The Liberals don't have any skin in the game, and the National Party are equally remiss when it comes to having any proper environmental policies.
Yeah, definitely. And it's the weirdest thing about the Victorian Parliament at the moment is that it seems there's not much difference between the Labor Party and the National Party.
That's really bad, isn't it? It's not even not much difference between the Labor and Liberal. Now it's gone even further. There's not any difference between Labor and National.
Yeah, and it's just like Labor has got a long history of good environmental things. Like Joan Kerner protected a lot of the parks that we've got now. She protected 1.9 million hectares of national parks when she was in, like the Grampians and parts of the Dandenong Ranges and the like. But to just have a government in, and a Labor or so-called Labor government, that's just doing all it can to go after the environment and environment protections rather than protecting it and looking after our shared backyard is just, it's mind-blowing and just weird.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. What would you call on people to do to push back from this?
Yeah, we've got a few email actions on the VMPA website, vmpa.org.au. There's one there on feral deer. There's a few there on loophole logging, like what's going on at Mount Macedon, and a few there on not cutting critical institutions. So there's still a few more on the chopping block. Hopefully they get off the chopping block. But there's plenty on the website, and we put out a bi-monthly magazine as well that's online for free that folks can check out and learn more and get in contact with their local MPs and their mates and, get together and help look after Victoria's environment.
Yeah, part of it is people realising that it's actually happening. Like, you know, they can go on their camping journeys and then suddenly realise that there's no maintenance of the tracks. I mean, you know, it's pretty appalling.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. And those cuts are really starting to bite now, and you're starting to see the impacts in the parks. So, yeah.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Jordan.
No worries. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Oh, it's pretty depressing, I reckon. No, the fight's on. Fancy doing that. I mean, the Allan government, slap across the face.
That's a great reminder. I think, particularly as a young person, I find it very, very stressful hearing about how mismanaged the environment is. But there are things to be done.
There's
no time to be hopeless.
I mean, if you're going to be so... the Victorian government can't even employ fishery officers to protect the environment or people to clear the paths in national forests. I mean, really pathetic, absolutely pathetic.